Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Vice reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Saving a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru, Bo Morgan.
You know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Erie McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
The Morning Shift is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning. It is Monday. This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and Tiff here with you live in the Kia studios. Bo is in Philadelphia getting ready for the Falcons Monday night football. So good morning, gentlemen. I heard the
breaker
sniff.
Breaker come in.
Are you there?
Yeah,
you
we
there,
heard the signature sniff from one squid.
I think I'm dying out here in Philly. This room is like 60. It's like 60 degrees in here. I wake up and I'm like, what is going on? Why is it so cold? And I tried to adjust the temperature. So, you know, it's not cold in Philadelphia. It's just cold in the room of Squidbilly.
Is it better or worse than what you dealt with in Daytona for the 500? Colder or warmer? What do you think?
Oh, it's not. No, that was icebox cold. This is just somebody turned the air up a little bit.
I woke up in the morning in Daytona and walked out to where Squid was sleeping, and he looked like he was climbing Everest. Like he just straight up had every piece of his body covered with everything he could possibly find. So, yeah, man. How's the trip up?
Good. Good. Nice little trip. Watched. We didn't have live TV, so I had to watch that Fall Guy movie with
I didn't finish it, so don't tell me. Don't tell the end.
Yeah, well, who's in that one?
It's Ryan Gosling.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Did you like what you saw, Tiff?
I did like what I saw. I think I got to, no, I was nodding off, so I didn't want to fall asleep and let it play out, so I figured I would stop it. So did you finish it?
Yeah, I missed like yeah, I did. I got the gist of the finish. I enjoyed the movie, honestly.
The
I actually,
gist of the finish.
Yeah, just I didn't need to.
Well,
see
because
everything.
There's, they hit the credits and then they do a little like 2 minute thing after, and we had already landed, and I had taken my headset out at that point, so I missed whatever interaction was there. But but yeah, it was. You know how all those movies are doing that these days. But I thought it was really good. Actually, I was impressed.
All right.
It was a, Tiff, it was a man up. I guess it's a man up Monday. I'm just curious if Bo got to see any of the bloodbath that was our picks from Friday. Did you get to see any of that yesterday or?
Like a recap.
Yeah. Arch and I were watching on his iPad before we took off and
is that why
a little
you're really
bit during.
Sniffling?
Huh?
Is that why you're really sniffling? Are you crying because of Man Up?
And, I'll be crying at 8 o'clock, Tiffany.
Okay.
No, I'm gonna have to face the music today because it was rough. I mean, really rough. And I was pretty confident in my picks, Tiff, on Friday. And I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna be honest with you. When I saw the scores, I just said, maybe Tiffany will be out tomorrow because she's going to go in on me with these picks.
I'm going to have it out with you, too, on a couple of these for sure.
I'm going to try to rein it back. I'm going to try to be nice. I'm here on a Monday, so I'm going to try to be nice.
There
That's not
go.
The norm. So I'll
it.
See what I can do. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm.
Tiff, how was your travels to Colorado?
Eventful because of the game that I had. So Colorado at Colorado State. But yeah, I mean, Colorado is beautiful, but we had, let's just say there's a lot going on around that matchup leading up to it. So I think it made for a fun game, ended up being a little bit lopsided, But other than that, which I can dive into some of that when we get to a TB's timeout. But good times overall. Yeah. So
it wasn't as close of a game as I think a lot of people expected it to be, but definitely it didn't seem like it lacked for off-field fireworks. So I'll be interested to hear what your take is on that coming up in the timeout, because the post-game interactions and everything else, just that's turned into a pretty heated rivalry for sure.
It has, and one that probably is going to be going for. They don't play again, I think. It's going to be 5 years, I think, till they meet each other again. So now Colorado has bragging rights from the overtime matchup last year and then pretty much taking care of business handedly in the matchup on Saturday. So you guys get into anything this weekend?
Oh, God, no. This is the first time in months that I had nothing planned, nothing on the docket. We just hung out around the house, man, just tried to spend time with the kids as much as I could. It's a crazy fall for for me, tonight being pre and post and everything else, so we just hung out as much as we could, man. Just chilled out. It was a good weekend. Nice weather. Well, cool weather. Not nice weather, but pretty good.
Bo, did you walk around Philly at least?
I walked left out of my hotel, and we walked a couple of blocks to a place called Giovanni's yesterday once we landed. A little sports bar and grill. I tell you what, probably the most extensive menu, guys, I have ever seen for a sports bar. They had cheesesteaks, they had burgers, they had hoagies, they had Greek platters, they had pasta platters, they had pizzas, calzones, strombolis. I mean it was a hell of a menu. So the quarterback and I shared a pie, got a meat lovers.
Oh, how's Kirk?
And decided to double down on it with some mozzarella sticks. I thought that's I was very curious that. yeah. I just told the waiter, I was like, yeah, we're gonna stop ourselves up for the next month. I think it was interesting though, because Wes is sitting next to me, and he decides to go with the pasta plate at a sports bar. So that was an interesting, but it looked really good. So.
All right, so you're up there, obviously, as we mentioned in the open. Monday Night Football's tonight. You know who's playing. It's the Falcons and the Eagles. So we can get some early thoughts, perhaps maybe early predictions for this game. I know there are going to be some key pieces missing in this matchup on Atlanta's side, and Nate Landman and Antonio Hamilton Sr., who will both be out for this game, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that I'm not making any early predictions. I need to wrap my brain around what I think could possibly happen, what I think is likely. But you're right. There's injuries on both sides. Tiff, AJ Brown's out for Philadelphia, which is massive news as well. And I don't know what to think at this point. And Bo, I'll let you chime in as well, because I think what this offense could be and what it should be and what the possibilities are. And yet what we saw last week mirrored none of that, and I'm just hoping that the offense shows up and the defense can somehow find a way to dig deep and contain everything that's going to be thrown at them for the offense of Philly.
Yeah, I think A.J. Brown being out is huge, guys. Nate Landman, Tiff, as you mentioned, is always a big loss for this team, because as good as he is, but that's where you hope Troy Anderson can step up, and even J.D. Bertrand maybe can step up a little bit and fill the void there. Antonio Hamilton, I'm not as worried about, but I'll tell you, the three-headed monster in the receiving core, not even counting, Saquon Barkley when he would be out as a receiver, and Dallas Goedert, but A.J. Brown is, to me, the big dog of these three. So him being out, I like that for us. And I hope maybe it puts some more pressure on Jalen Hurts. Maybe you make Jalen Hurts force a ball where he's not as comfortable, because as we talked about all last week, guys, I know we talked with Mike Quick. Tiff, you were with us on that. Jalen's turned the ball over a lot lately. I mean, he's got 17 interceptions in his last 18 starts in the regular season. That's not good numbers. So if you can step up in the run game and maybe force them as far as to throw the ball a little bit, it could work out a little bit for you.
It could, but then you mentioned Saquon, and I know he had he had 23 yards receiving, but 109 yards rushing against the Packers in their week one win. So that dual threat ability that you talked about, if they don't have, they won't have A.J. Brown, you still have other weapons to pick from.
I'll be honest with you. Saquon's the more terrifying part of all this to me. I think when you see the physicality he runs with, and you know what's What's wild about it is when you look at the early part of the season for the Falcons last year, they kind of dodged some of the more elite running backs in the NFL. I think Aaron Jones was out when they played. Can't remember who it was for Carolina. They were missing as well in the first game of the season. And so you dodged a couple of these guys. Saquon Barkley is one of the more dynamic running backs you will have played in a couple of seasons. And to your point, Bo, Jalen Hurts, I think he's going to probably make a mistake or two in the passing game. This is not a one-off that we saw last week. This continues into the second half of last year, really, when you look at some of the struggles he's had with his arm. So I think when you look at Saquon, to me, and that offensive line, those big guys up front, that becomes the scarier part of everything that Philadelphia's doing.
Yeah, I love how Tiff buried the lead on us there. She dropped those Saquon stats, which everything she said was accurate. She just left out the fact that he had 3 touchdowns, which is the scary part.
Yeah.
But Tiff, you're and both of y'all are right.
The credibility part, just what he did on both sides. So, yes.
But you're both right. And, that's one of those things where how's this offensive line playing? You know, they lost, to me, one of the best centers we've seen in the last, 20 years, Mike, and Jason Kelce. And I know Cam Jurgens played well last week. And I know that there's been the talk about how Kelce was kind of a help scout for him with the Eagles, and he was integral in bringing him in as his replacement even before he was gone. But I like our defensive line now, and I like our front 7, honestly. And I think we are a team that can do well against the run. I know that it wasn't, overly great in week 1, but I think, Jalen Hurts is a guy that doesn't want to run as much. We've seen that. So I think that might maybe take away that element that they had last week. I also think last week was a much more one-dimensional attack in a lot of ways that this defense faced. And, Pittsburgh really wanted to lean on you. So I think that this defense might stay fresh in some ways. Also, look, the one thing we haven't really talked about that this defense is they only gave up 18 points last week, right? No touchdowns. And they were on the field for an extensive amount of time. And to me, offensively, to have, I think we had something around 25 or 30 less plays offensively than the Steelers. You got to get first downs this week, and you got to keep your defense fresh. Your offense has to help your defense, Mike.
Yeah, when we look at third down percentage, and you and I talked about it throughout the preseason, it's like, it's just preseason. We don't want to worry about third down percentage, even though it was absolutely abysmal. I mean, abysmal through preseason. Schematically, you thought, okay, things will change. You'll game plan, but you didn't. Things didn't change very much game plan-wise, and so that's what I'll be looking for, I think, a lot tonight is what do those third down game plans look like and how are you able to pick them up?
We'll come back with more Falcons talk throughout the show, but we do have a lot of college football to get to. It was a big weekend with some barely wins. Is that what you would call it, I guess? Some people barely escape some of the top dogs around here. So we'll discuss when we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is Monday, which means there will be Monday Night Football tonight, and it will be the Atlanta Falcons against Philadelphia. Mike and I holding it down here in the Kia Studios, and Bo is up in Philadelphia, trying to stay warm.
Well, what kind of digs they got you in? That y'all in a 5-star, or what's going on up there, man? Y'all good?
I mean, we're in a Westin, so.
That's solid.
I don't know.
Not the Waldorf, but,
It's nice.
Yeah, that's solid. I don't know if you got, the NBA kind of contracts going on with hotels. I'm just curious, man.
I mean, I feel like we're in a lot of Marriott Bonvoy type things these days. Westin is a part of that family. I mean, it's nice. They got big room. Got me a little. I guess they knew I was going to work from here today, so they put me a little table over here. They got a plug in with like 60 outlets. So yeah, man, I'm
kids
set
table
up.
One of the plastic ones.
There you go. Studio. No, not studio.
Yeah, I think it is plastic, actually, Tiff. That's it's really low to the ground.
Perfect. All right, we'll get more on the Falcons in just a bit, but let's talk some college football.
It's time to talk college football on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Georgia, Kentucky, the Dogs on the road in Lexington. And in this one, you could say they were lucky to come out on top with that victory, because this was a really closely played game. The final 13-12, not a high scoring affair. But again, it's an SEC win for the team. And you come back with a W.
Yeah, it's so interesting to look at the way that this game kind of played out, man. You want to talk about just absolutely getting hit if you're Georgia and just not really playing terribly well offensively. And I thought that a couple people pointed to it on Twitter. I think David Pollack actually said something to the effect of, I don't know. I think Georgia has a lot of good players in the offensive skill positions. I don't know that they have any great right now the way they did a year ago. I think they do. I think those guys just – I think they have to hit their stride. I think this offense is still kind of searching for an identity, Bo. And I don't know that they found it Saturday night. Now you get 2 weeks off before you head to Tuscaloosa.
Well, I told you guys Friday that this is a game that Kentucky always plays them close,
yep.
This was going to be another close game. That's just the way it rolls. I mean, I know that's exactly what I said Friday, when I did the picks.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at the ceiling going, I don't think you said any of that, dude.
I think I said that on, like, Thursday or something, because these are – whenever they play Kentucky, it seems like these are just really tough games to play, and it is a tough place to play. Up there in Lexington. So, but I think what you were getting at is possibly something that we'll talk about in a man up segment. Yeah. Is that what you were alluding to? So,
gonna be brutal.
It was, Tiff. I actually did say that the last few games there was close, which was my reason for why it wouldn't be close. But you're right, Tiff. Lexington is a tough place to play. The weather wasn't great at times, but it's a tough place to play. I disagree with my old friend and former colleague David Pollack under the fact that I think they do have some great players. I just don't know if they've hit their stride yet. And to me, I'm not worried about Georgia. They got a week off, if I'm not mistaken, before the Alabama game, which Alabama has a week off, Tiff. And to me, Georgia has always been a team I think that's going to lose at least a game with this schedule. But I don't know if it matters. We were talking about it last night at dinner, me and Arch and Wes and Lloyd. We were talking about what this playoff could look like. And to me, Georgia's goal should be to make the SEC title game, because I think that guarantees them a playoff spot.
I don't know how I feel. That it's going to be an interesting two-week build-up to that game in Tuscaloosa. I have no idea how to feel about it. So we're going to break that down backwards and forward for 2 weeks.
And I'd say the early bye, definitely a good thing for the Georgia team. There's a lot of injuries going around, and really a tough matchup like that against Kentucky. The early bye, I think, is a very good thing. All right, on to Alabama and Wisconsin. So Alabama wins 42-10.
Yeah, Tiff, this Alabama offense is feast or famine. I mean, it is like a three and out, or they score in two plays. It's crazy to watch. I don't know if it makes me feel any better. Sustaining drives is not their strong suit, but man, they have one of the most explosive offenses in college football when they get it done. I didn't think they'd get up to 42, but Tyler Van Dyke gets injured on, I think, the third play from scrimmage for Wisconsin. Looked like a torn-up knee, unfortunate for him and emotional. So Alabama gets it done on the road. I don't know really what to take away other than the fact that you dominated away from home in a very hostile environment, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, that was an odd game, because I thought Wisconsin, like, they were moving the ball well early in that first drive until Van Dyke goes out. Forgot he had even left Miami to go to Wisconsin. That's what this portal has done. It's changed things up. Boy, the Ryan Williams, man, that kid looks phenomenal. That throw that Milroe made to him on that touchdown, that deep ball, Mike, Tiff, I thought, Williams' speed is so sneaky, because I thought for sure he was going to get lit up by that safety dashing in, and he just ran right by him.
And good for Alabama getting their first, road test, passing it pretty swimmingly on the season. So, hey, let's stay in the SEC, but we'll talk about a team that lost in the SEC to a team that happens to be the team that is my from my alma mater, Georgia State, pulling off a late rally to stun Vanderbilt in a huge upset there. So you could call this a pretty much a signature win for Del McGee, and a great one to start really his tenure there at Georgia State. So they were down 12 points in the fourth quarter, and they came back and then were able to win, 15 seconds remaining in the game, 36-32. So proud of my Panthers.
Yeah, interesting to see them charging the field over there. Storming the field, it's awesome.
Yeah, that was a crazy thing. That was crazy for me. I had my buddy Sut text me about it, and I was like, oh, Vandy's going to pull this off. Clark Lee off to an amazing start this season for them, beating Va Tech on week one at home, a team that some people thought could contend for the ACC and still could maybe. I mean, you said it, though, Tiff, Del McGee, signature win, big for him to get the program off on the right foot there. I mean, you lost to Tech, 2 weeks ago? So that's just a huge win, and I do feel a little bit for Vandy because you thought maybe Clark Lee was starting to build something there, but now they look like Vandy again.
But Day-Day, real quick, I know you said you were there.
Yeah, I was at the game, and they actually kind of – Georgia State kind of let it be known at the beginning of the game that they were – they meant business. They forced Vandy a turnover on Vandy's first possession of the game. And if you go back to that Georgia Tech tape, man, if you watch them, that was the game I was at as well. Georgia State, they have a very dangerous offensive team. They got some very good pieces, so I was not surprised that they pulled off the win.
Go Panthers. On to Texas now and UTSA. And the talk around this one, of course, was about the mobile Manning that we saw in this matchup. Texas beating UTSA 56-7, and Arch Manning getting in the game after Quinn Ewers went down with an injury. Texas has two really good quarterbacks, but again, Arch Manning kind of stealing the show there and lighting up the highlight reel.
I don't know that Texas is as good as they possibly could be if Quinn Ewers is the quarterback, but I will tell you this, that Arch Manning seems to be everything that we thought he might be as a quarterback at Texas. So I don't think there's a huge stop off. You look at the way they dealt with business, obviously coming out as the AP number one team in the country yesterday, they look like a very explosive offense, and they look consistent, which I think is a lot of questions you have about a lot of other teams around the country.
Well, Arch Manning's showing that he's the wide receiver's kid. And not the two pocket quarterbacks who could barely move.
Yeah.
I think that's important. I think people also kind of forget that Archie Manning was a guy that could move. And I don't know where Peyton got his genes from. Eli could move a little bit. I'm not sure where. I don't really know where Peyton, other than the fact that he looks like everybody, he doesn't physically act like the other guys. I mean, at least Eli could even move a little bit. We saw that in the Super Bowls that he played in. Peyton Manning, I don't know where his athleticism came from.
Look, Arch, his father's Cooper, and he did, I think he tweeted it or he posted on social media that he gets his speed from his mom's side. Because, I mean, the kid, look, I mean, he was like cutting people up. So yeah. It's like.
He hit
the
next gear,
fun.
That's for sure.
All right, LSU defeating South Carolina 36-33, and this came down to the final moments of the game. LSU barely escaping this one. What is LSU?
I got to be honest with you. LSU was one of the most impressive teams that I saw all weekend, just simply from the fact that they climbed back from down being 17-0. I think it was in the first quarter, and they climbed all the way back into this one and were able to win. That was like, it was not a pretty win by any stretch of the imagination. It was actually pretty ugly. But when you look at what South Carolina did last week to Kentucky, and you look at what LSU was dealing with in the first quarter on the road, one of the more impressive things I saw all weekend, LSU.
Yeah, I think LSU is exactly who they were last year. Very good offense, very questionable defense. I thought the defense had gotten better, and they don't look much better at this point. I'm interested to see what y'all think about a call that was, extremely questionable. Nussmeier throws an interception in the red zone, and it's basically a pick six for 100 yards. It's called back, though, by what a lot of people think is a controversial call, where Nussmeier, and I forget the young player's name, but he decides to take a shot at Nussmeier. Now, it wasn't the worst of shots, but it's a two-hand shove at a time where what are you doing? It was one of those plays where you just wanted to take a shot at the quarterback. Whether you think it should have been a penalty or not, it was a silly play. It was a dumb play by him, to be frank. What did you guys think about that penalty? Because it ended up being a game changer.
Yeah, I think that for me, it's a blindside block. I mean, you can take the helmet out of you all you want to. It's a blindside block by definition. So, Tiff, I don't know. That's the way I saw it.
That's what I would agree to. A lot of questionable calls in that game. Some people saying that LSU kind of got bailed out. Being able to survive some of the questionable calls. I guess maybe on both sides. But when we come back here, let's switch gears and get to some baseball. We're talking Braves, and we'll hit a TB's timeout from my trip covering a Rocky Mountain showdown out in Colorado. We'll be right back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's almost 6:45 this hour, brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Well, the Dodgers now have some more momentum as they go into trying to close things out with the Braves. So they won 9-2 against the Braves last night, and then they had previously gone, 1-4 in their previous five games. So
it was
not good.
Yeah, Tiff, it was nice to see the Braves take two of the first three, and obviously the strange wraparound series, you'll get the finale of that one tonight, which I don't think we've had a wraparound series all year in terms of a Friday to Monday for the Atlanta Braves, maybe one other one, if I'm not mistaken. But big start by Charlie Morton last night. The bullpen absolutely falls apart. Rossell Iglesias' worst outing of the season, if not seasons plus. And just a strange deal. Once Charlie Morton left the hill, Dylan Lee, a couple of pitch clock issues and a couple other things going on. The Braves just couldn't muster up more offense, probably when they needed to earlier in the game, Bo. But in the end, when you look at what happened in the top of the ninth, I'm not sure it would have mattered how far they would have got because it got ugly.
Yeah, that was first off, Charlie Morton was phenomenal, and he's had two straight outings where I thought he was really good. That's the Charlie Morton if you were to make the postseason and you have to use him at some point because of Lopez's injury, that's what you would need. He would be the fourth guy to me in there. I want to be upset. It was Dylan. You can't have the stuff from Dylan Lee happen, and I'm gonna be hard on him and not Iglesias because Iglesias has been probably the best reliever in baseball since all year basically, but definitely since June. It's disappointing because you could have gained a game on the Mets and been a game up on them instead of even, and you could have also stayed somewhat paced with the Diamondbacks. Now they were able to gain a game on you, so now you're two back of them, but you're even with the Mets. It was just an opportunity wasted. But look at the bright side. You can I hate these wraparound series. You can actually take the series today with Fried on the mound or tonight, and you also look at you're just keeping pace, so you're in a good spot. This wild card race is turned into a sneaky, sneaky, really good pennant race.
All right, let's hit a TB's timeout.
Take a look at what's going on in Tiffany's world.
This ain't funny.
With TB's timeout on the Morning Shift.
I had the Rocky Mountain Showdown. So that was my matchup for the weekend in Fort Collins, Colorado. It was Colorado against Colorado State. And I'm sure you all remember how things played out against these two teams. Last year, mainly probably the buildup going into that game, a lot of trash talking. These two programs hate each other, and so that's like the nice way of putting it. And, of course, Colorado walking away with a double overtime victory last year, and then handedly just kind of walking away with the victory this year after what kind of seemed like a slow start for them. Colorado State had a lot of mistakes, looked like they were shooting themselves in the foot, and then Colorado able to capitalize and really get in sync offensively and on the other side of the ball, too. But I know probably everybody wants to talk about Coach Prime. and so I know in our meetings and stuff, like, I'm just trying to give you guys, like, an inside look. Like, we had a great meeting with him. We walked away, like, pretty informed about, you know, what he is still hoping to accomplish You know, at Colorado State, we talked about it on the broadcast too, we talked about it on broadcast too. His intentions of just saying, you know, if his kids leave, you know, he said the way he put it was, my kids have followed me. So, and the implication there would be like he's not necessarily going to just follow his kids once they are both gone, because there's been a lot of talk about that. There's a lot of buzz about my interaction with Coach Prime at our end of our first quarter interview. And just some background there. We worked together at NFL Network for, around 5 years. So there is some familiarity there. But that's, you know, kind of where it ends. So I don't know if you guys have any questions about anything else. I know, Bo, I know you probably have a lot to say. But
well,
I know what happened after the game, too. But we did not witness that, so.
I've always got a lot to say, Tiff. I actually was going to keep it clear of any controversy with Coach Prime. And honestly, I saw some of your one of your posts. You were at a meeting and you're at the stadium, and it just looked amazing out there. The view that you guys had from like the meeting room that y'all are at.
Oh my gosh, it is if I can go back to school again just for the mountain setting. I would, because it's a beautiful place to play. And it just so happened to be a really charged rivalry between these two teams. And even if around the fans, like there was a lot of cop presence on the field because they were preparing in case Colorado State did win. Kids were going to rush the field because that was likely to happen in a heated rivalry matchup like that. I do want to talk about Travis Hunter, though, and just how insane of an athlete and player he is. And that was like some of the great stuff to come out of our meetings, because you know, Coach Sanders was a two-way player himself, so he talked about how they manage Travis, what his weeks look like, which I found really interesting. They give him 3 straight days off every week, so that's Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And, you know, I kind of said this for my opening hit before kick, and that's that Travis wants to be playing all the time. Like, he never wants to stop. And so it's just such a unique, individual that's able to go out there. And then as soon as he's done basically with an offensive series, he's talking to the offense for a little bit, but then he's right back over there, you know, getting talked to by Rob Livingston is their defensive coordinator. He used to be with the Bengals for a long time. And so that part of it was really fascinating. But he had 2 touchdowns and even an interception in the game. And it's just insane to watch someone compete at such a high level on both sides of the ball.
I think he mentioned the fact that he took himself out for the first time. He tried to chase somebody down, and he was like, it's the first time I've ever done that, where I actually was like, I need to catch my wind after that. But, I mean, the heated rivalry part that you kind of alluded to and kind of some of the bad blood afterwards with the handshake and everything else, did you get a sense that this was obviously going to the next level in terms of heat compared to what it was last year?
It almost feels like it was quieter last year. Like, you didn't have, you know, you had Coach Norvell talking about, I take my hat and my sunglasses off, you know, and I'm addressing people. And in talking about the meeting with him too, it was very much about him wanting to protect the kids, because a lot of the vitriol that came out, of course, with Blackburn and then Travis last year, you know, with the late hit and all that stuff. And those two made amends and really came together on that. I think what came out this year was, and everybody kind of saw this sound, it's circulating again now after the game, Colorado State's quarterback, Braden Fowler Nicolosi, had some words to say, and it was like 2 months ago, or maybe 2 to 3 months ago, where he talked about basically Colorado just being about Instagram followers and all that stuff. So that gets recirculated. You know, Coach Sanders telling us that they actually played that for the team the night before the game so they could see that again. And then all of a sudden, also the night before the game, a couple hours after our meeting with him, a flyer's going out. It's this graphic they treated with Shedeur Sanders on the front, sunglasses, and the gold letters that says, it's personal. So I think towards the end, things were maybe starting to ramp up the dislike between these two teams.
Yeesh.
I know the clip going around with Shedeur and Nicolosi, after the game. Obviously, I was doing post-game interviews, didn't get to see that until it made its rounds. So, you know, there's some people that want to make the argument, if someone talks bad about you, you don't have to be nice to them. Some people are more like, hey, it's gamesmanship, go shake, you know, someone's hand afterwards. All I know is that everyone loves a good rivalry in college football. And so everyone loves to see the hate between two teams. And so I think that's probably my biggest takeaway from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would not have gone about things the way that Shadur did. That's totally up to him. But I'm not shocked because I wouldn't have gone about a lot of things that happened in Colorado the way they've been going the last couple of years. It's just not my cup of tea, man. But hats off to him. It's the route he chose to take. So,
and that was kind of interesting too. I know we have to go to break, but we did talk about that with the meeting. And so there's some aspect of it, like, you know, when you see the flyer go out like that, you're like, okay, you're welcoming this one aspect of it. But then the other aspect of it too is that when you're talking about transfers, a lot of stuff, they are doing things the same as kind of a lot of other programs are. But whenever there's, you know, Coach Prime, it's kind of a lightning rod, right? So it's very interesting. It'll be a very interesting conversation. All right, when we come back here on the morning shift, Falcons, Eagles, Monday Night Football. Bo is in Philadelphia holding it down. We'll get some more insight into this matchup as we get set for kickoff later on this evening. We'll be right back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.